接著我們今天讀今天的經文，經文來自兩段的聖經，第一段是哈巴谷書的三章十七至到十九節，第二段是生命記的二十六章一至到十一節。
Today's scripture reading is taken from two places. The first from Habakkuk chapter 3 verses 17 through 19 and also Deuteronomy chapter 26 verses 1 through 11.
我們會用啟證方式讀出，我們讀哈巴谷書的三章十七至到十九節是用中文，同埋申命記的二十六章一至到四節都是用中文，有餘下的是用英文的。
So we will first read this responsively. First, in Cantonese, Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, and Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 through 4 in Cantonese, and then the rest responsively in English.
Habakkuk 3:17. 虽然无花果树不发旺，葡萄树不结果，橄榄树也不效力，田地不出粮食，圈中住了羊，棚内也没有牛。然
而我主因耶和华本恩，因我的神喜乐。
主耶和华是我的力量，他是我的脚快如舞动的蹄，又使我稳行在高处。这歌交予灵长用丝弦的乐器。就要从耶和华你神赐你的地上，将所收的各种初熟的好产取些来，盛在筐子里，往耶和华你神所选择要立为他名的居所去。祭司就从你手里取过筐子来，放在耶和华你神的坛前。
You must then say in the presence of the Lord your God, My ancestor Jacob was a wandering Aramean who went to live as a foreigner in Egypt. His family arrived few in number, but in Egypt they became a large and mighty nation. We cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. He heard our cries and saw our hardship, toil, and oppression. He brought us to this place and gave us this land flowing with milk and honey. Let us read verse 11 together. Afterward, you may go and celebrate because of all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. Remember to include the Levites and the foreigners living among you in the celebration. The title of Pastor Wilson's message today is Change Hearts, Change Lives. Children may be dismissed for children's worship downstairs.
Certainly on an occasion like the Lunar New Year, we want to, of course, be prosperous.
沒錯，農曆新年的時間，你特別是期望是能夠有富足。
But often there are circumstances in our lives that prevent that, and some times are more painful than others.
有很多時生命裏面有很多時都不是咁如意，有時可能更加痛苦。
And so as we wind up the study on the short book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament, we see a time of economic scarcity.
當我哋係差唔多睇完哈巴谷書嘅時候，我哋睇到嗰度形容一個時間係一個經濟嘅蕭條嘅時候。
I don't know if you recall a time in 2008, none of the financial experts predicted that collapse of the world economy.
2008年的時候,
if you are an adult and you had to raise a family, you know how painful that time was in 2008. Many had to change careers because of the loss of work. I'm old enough to remember the early 80s when I first started working, and there was an economic decline, and that was very bad as well. So that's the picture at the end of Habakkuk, but of course he ends with a pleasant note that he rejoices in the Lord despite the adversities. And so what Habakkuk helps us today is this. How do you face that? How do you face an economic collapse, which nobody knows, but 2023, that might happen. Before we get into a more application of that, again, I'm drawing also from a sermon from Tim Keller on that. What I need to do is explain what that means to rejoice in times of trials and troubles. And I won't belabor the point because, again, I preached on Habakkuk 3 before in 2018, and also last Sunday, part of last Sunday was Habakkuk 3, 17 and 19 as well. So the question is, what does it mean? If there is a time of economic scarcity, what does it mean to rejoice in the Lord? Well, as you see on slide 2, Psalm 103 helps us here. It's a very famous psalm. And a new international version puts it well. It says there in verses 1 and 2, praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Verse 2, praise the Lord, my soul. And forget not all his benefits. So you see that in Chinese and English on the screen there, my soul, who's he talking to? Who's the psalmist talking to? Did you notice that? He's talking to himself, he's talking to his soul. What does that mean? He's remembering. He's pondering. He's what the scriptures call meditating. And what he's saying to himself is, I have to connect what I know about God and what he has done for me, for the world, to my present circumstances. And Luke 8 and John 9 gives us an example of this in the account of that famous story of Jesus stilling the storm while he was in a boat with the disciples. If you're familiar from that portion of the New Testament, you'll know that the disciples are panicking, right? They're you know, on a calm sea, and all of a sudden there's a storm, and then the waves are, and then the dark clouds are there. And so they go to Jesus and they say, Master, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? Look, you're asleep. We're going to die. Do you even care? And then Jesus wakes, stills the storm, and then he turns to them. Do you remember what he says in verse 25, the first part of 25 of chapter of Luke 8? Jesus says to the disciples, "Where is your faith?" Notice he doesn't say, "You poor guys, you need more faith. I'll pray for you." No, if you look it up, Luke 8, 25, the first part of 25, Jesus says, "Where is your faith?" Get it out. You know who I am. You've been away for a while. You've seen what I've done. You have faith. Get it out. It should be here. Show it. You're not remembering. You know, that word remembering is kind of a grisly word. It's a metaphor. Remembering. It's a grisly metaphor. I'll explain that. Right, you have parts of your body, right, that are members of your whole self, your hands, your feet, your arms, your legs, your fingers. And tragically, people get into accidents like car accidents and they might injure themselves badly and perhaps they might have to go rush to the emergency room and a skilled surgeon has to reconnect one of their members. That skillful surgeon is seeking to put those members back where they belong. And of course, the surgeon skillfully sews it in, right? Sews it back in. This is remembering. Jesus is saying to his disciples, you know who I am. You've seen what I've done. So how is it you're not connecting who I am, what I've done, to the storm? There's no reason for you to panic. Because the reason you're panicking is you're not remembering who I am and what I've done. You see, rejoicing in tribulations and trials says instead of looking back at the storm, the big waves, the dark clouds, the fierce gusts of wind, you look back attentively at the gospel. And of course, we have an advantage today over Habakkuk, because Habakkuk only had part of a story that kind of pointed to the ultimate story. We have the entire story. If you're familiar with Habakkuk 3, we didn't read the large portion of 3 to 16 in Habakkuk 3, but if you did, you'll see that he's referring back to the Exodus. You know, that huge event in the Old Testament where God rescued Israel out of the bondage of slavery, right? He's remembering that. What does it mean for us, right? God raised Jesus from the dead. That's a particular teaching in the scriptures.
对于我们来说，你要记得乜嘢咧？就系话耶，神咧将耶稣基督从死里复活。When
I face dire circumstances like economic scarcity, what does that mean? Now, to remember that.
对于我们来说，面对经济困难嘅时候，要记得耶稣基督从死里复活系咩意思咧？
You see, remember is not just repeating. You know what it means? It means rejoicing, savoring, treasuring the gospel.
要去思考，要去宝贵呢个福音，去亲尝呢个福音。
By the way, that's an example of connecting doctrine, the teachings of the scriptures, teachings of God, to your very life.
就系将呢个教义点样去联系到你嘅生命，呢个系一个例子。You
know, if you're a good Christian and you're reading your scriptures, you know that rejoicing can't simply refer to feelings.
我哋知道呢个喜乐唔系单单只系提到呢个感受。You
know, Philippians 4:4, Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice."
腓立比书4:4，保罗话：你们要靠主常常喜乐。我再说，你们要喜乐。
And if you look at that, and you're like me, back in 2008, you think, how can you do that in this time of economic scarcity?
咁如果你好似我咁样，你谂翻喺2008年嘅时候。
Right, how can you do that when you've lost your job and people jumping out of windows? How can you rejoice in the Lord always? Well, God, through the Apostle Paul, is not commanding you to always feel happy because he's not talking about feelings. He's talking about a discipline. Whatever rejoicing is, it can't be just to feel happy, right? Because the word rejoicing shows us it's not just a mental thing, it's not just a stoic thing. It's not saying, okay, I'm going to think about what I should do and I'm just going to do the right thing. That's not what it means. No, that's only part. It means more than that. Rejoicing means to treasure, to savor, as the psalmist puts it, to taste and see.
喜乐就系要去宝贵，要去品尝，要去尝过，然后再去睇下。See,
as you'll see on slide 3, rejoicing means to take something that has happened and say, what should this mean for me today?
喜乐就系话，你有啲嘢发生，然后你去话，咁样对我嚟讲系咩意思咧？
How should I look at this? How should I feel about it?
我应该会对呢样嘢点样睇法？应该有咩感觉咧？
Look at what God has done, and look at who he is.
你要看神为你做了什么，你看神是哪一位。
And that's why I'm not wasting your time when I say you have to look at the Bible. You have to study the Bible intently.
所以你要看圣经去思考。
Because God reveals himself through his word by the power of his Holy Spirit.
神藉着圣灵去启示他自己是哪一位。
And as you understand the Word of God, you understand God better. You understand who you are. You understand your purpose in life. You understand all the things concerning the Christian life. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit changes you through the truths of God's Word, you start to adore, praise, worship God.
藉着圣灵的大能，当你去睇神嘅话语嘅时候，你就开始去赞美神，去夸口神。
By the way, that's why I have that book out there that you should pick up, Pray the Bible. Because how are you going to adore and praise the Lord? How are you going to pray properly without praying the Bible?
我哋点样系去向神去祈祷咧？就系我哋用圣经去祈祷。
That's not the same thing as thinking.
呢个唔系净系去谂去思考。
Praising, you're appreciating, you're valuing, you're praising. And that's what gets us into what's behind the word rejoicing. Again, to make it plain, simple, rejoicing is you treasure, you savor it. And that's what Habakkuk does. He looks at the Exodus, right? In Habakkuk 3:3-16, and which was the gospel as far as he knew, right? And that's what got him to the place where he could say, even though I've fallen down, even though I'm trembling like a leaf, I have God's peace. I can rejoice even in my suffering. Of course, as I mentioned before, we do today, as Christians, have the advantage over Habakkuk. We have a fuller perspective. We have the entire story. God's rescue plan. We know about it, right? The Exodus points to that. The Exodus was deliverance from bondage of slavery. God's rescue plan for the Israelites. God's rescue plan is freedom from the bondages of our sins, right? Because no one wants to be chained to their sins, right? Because the wages of sin is what? Death. God's redemptive plan saves us from the perils of sin, decay, death, hell, right? And certainly you agree with God that we deserve that because we have gone against our Maker. Yet through God's grace and mercy, He, through faith in Christ and His work, He raises us to life. The Exodus foreshadows God's plan of salvation. So there's a very important question you ought to ask you on this New Year day. What are you treasuring? What are you presently savoring? What are you pondering? Is it the success and prestige of your family? Is it your wealth, how you prospered the previous year, and how you plan to prosper this year? Is it your achievements, your accolades on what you're doing in your career? You see the danger of that? If you relish your accomplishments, if you relish anything else, when your circumstances change, you lose that. You're destroyed. You fall down off the mountain rather than, as Habakkuk says, you leap over the mountain. Because your heart is rejoicing, is fondling on those things that when they're gone, no one remembers. Right, George Washington was a great man, right? And he's on your American dollar bill, right? But other than that, you know, we don't really think a whole lot about George Washington, right? He's a famous person. Jesus says in Luke 10:20, paraphrase, I want you to rejoice in this, that your names and it's in the past tense, has already engraved, already written, already engraved, written in heaven. Jesus is talking about the believer, those who have trusted in the person of Christ, who are willing to follow him. Jesus is basically saying, Luke 10, that you're already accepted. Your place is already there. You're already loved. And Jesus is saying that to his disciples as they were boasting, rejoicing that what? They were casting out evil spirits. They were exorcising evil spirits. And they were feeling good about that. As you see on slide 4, when you treasure knowing God for who he is, you can respond. You can respond to his love for you by being obedient and following him. And one way of responding to God's greatness and grace is to be more generous, and that's the tie in with Deuteronomy 26. Because in Deuteronomy 26, you're supposed to give what? It says, the first fruits of your harvest to God. And that principle, the first fruits, occurs in various parts of the Old Testament. That's where we get some of the biblical principles of charitable giving. So what's the tie with Habakkuk 3 and Deuteronomy 26? Well, as you heard in the introduction, you know Habakkuk is bringing up the possibility of no harvest, right? No harvest at all. Right, Habakkuk is anticipating, because this is what the Lord has told him, he's anticipating a time of economic scarcity. And Deuteronomy 26 helps us, gives us necessary background and understanding how to respond to something like that. And what we have with the combination of Deuteronomy 26 and Habakkuk 3 is a comprehensive strategy for dealing with times of economic scarcity. On slide 5, you'll see when we look at Deuteronomy 26, then come back to Habakkuk 3, we'll learn three things about our generosity, our giving. Again, for the sake of time, I have to be brief here. But the three things that I think you can glean from those passages are give sacrificially, give joyfully, and give generously. Now, to give sacrificially is, of course, not giving out of your surplus only. I think that might be safe to conclude from the first fruit narrative, right? Because the first fruit narrative was saying that if you're an agricultural society or a farmer, when harvest time comes, you go out and gather and give that first portion, you know, just the initial gathering, to the Lord. I know none of you are farmers, but, you know, that gathering, right, of a couple of initial gathering, you don't know how much the entire harvest is because it takes several weeks to gather everything in, right? But you gather the first fruits, put in a basket, says Deuteronomy, and give it to the Lord in worship.
新約26章講到就話佢哋將第一批嘅初熟果子去收集起嚟，然後將佢去獻俾神。
And you do that joyfully, not just out of duty.
因為佢哋係有喜樂咁樣去做，基於一個責任。
And of course, if you do that way, first fruits, you give generously because you don't really know how much you got. You're just giving.
咁如果你將呢個初熟嘅果子全部獻曬俾神嘅時候咧，其實係真係好慷慨，因為你唔知道其實你餘下嘅收成有幾多。
And those are guidelines or principles that will help us in our giving of our how we are to be good stewards of what the Lord has provided to us.
呢個就係俾我哋一個準則，就係話我哋點樣去做神嘅好管家，點樣能夠去好似聖經所講嘅去捐獻。
You see, the Bible talks about money, greed, a lot.
聖經講到金錢同埋貪心講到好多。
And the reason that's so is that God cares about how we handle our money.
因為俾我哋睇到咧，神去關心我哋點樣去處理我哋嘅財產。
Because it's tied to your heart. What's important to you? What are you treasuring in? What is of value as you live out your life?
因為呢個就係聯繫到你嘅心，你點樣去活出你嘅生命？你俾我哋睇到你所寶貴嘅到底係點樣重視嘅？
You know, it's not that the agricultural society and being a farmer is as foreign as we think it is, because some of us get our income in that way. You know, you don't have to be a financial expert, a financial analyst, to know that the financial world changes quickly, real quick, right? And as we project, our projections are wrong sometimes, right? That's why as we enter 2023, right? Nobody really knows, you know? The Fed chair says, oh, maybe soft landing, right? Soft recession, right? Yeah, that's the plan, but nobody knows how it's going to work out. And as you know, because 2008 was not too far removed from us, that was a hard landing, and that was something no one predicted. But where, if you, for example, are in sales, you don't know how many sales you're going to make. You don't know. If your salary is based on commission, you don't know how much you ultimately get per year. Or, you know, if you teach a musical instrument, or you teach voice, you know, you don't know how many students are going to continue on, right? If you're an artist, a musician, you know how many gigs you're going to book. You don't know how many paintings you're going to sell. If you're an author, you don't know how many books you're going to sell. You see, God is saying the principle is you give of your first fruits, right? You don't have to know how much ultimately you're going to gather in
2023.
Because it didn't matter. Because God says to give up your first fruits. And you gave for the glory of the Lord, for worshiping Him. And you gave, and you're able to give joyfully because it's really just giving back what the Lord has given you.
You
Do you know what God is saying here? He says, don't give out of your surplus. I don't want your leftovers. No, he clearly states you give your first fruits, the first part of your harvest. And you know what that means, right? That type of giving affects your standard of living. Of course, there are other factors to consider in our ultimate giving, right? You know, if you have a college loan you have to pay off, it's pleasing to the Lord to pay it off, right? And then you don't have a whole lot of income, right? Because you're paying off a debt. And so the 10% tithe, which was the Old Testament standard, yeah, that's a good barometer of things. But you can be faithful to the Lord and fall short of that because you got to pay your debt down, right? So again, there are many factors, but I hope you get the point. The Lord is saying you ought to be generous, right? Because under the new covenant, the foundation of our giving is what? Our relationship with the Lord. It's not a legalistic percentage. It's giving out a response because God has given you much, has entrusted you much, right? And so the amount we give is based on several factors in the new covenant, right? Right, your income, determining your relationship with the Lord, your heart, right? The need for those who are ministering to you or the needs of fellow Christians, etc., 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 right? That determines your giving, right? So, of course, we strive to give generously, right? And 10% is a barometer. 10% is a barometer, a kind of a guideline for that. But obviously, because of needs, it might exceed that, right? But you're working towards what the Lord wants, right? That's the point. You're working joyfully towards that being more generous. You know, maybe you work for a church or a non-profit organization, they don't pay well, right? That's a form of sacrificial giving too, right? You could earn something, you could earn much more in another career or another job. But do you see why this is relevant, especially if it is evil times or economic scarcity? And that's why in the Bible it says good times, yeah, we ought to, we desire everyone to be prosperous, but good times can be dangerous to your spiritual health, right? Because it tempts us just to give out of our surplus. It doesn't affect the way we live. And you don't bother to then evaluate the needs that surround you, whether it be at church or the poor or whatever. And in bad times and evil times, there's no surplus.
當這個壞的處境裡面的時候,一個壞的環境裡面的時候,你沒有多餘的。
But if you learn the guideline of Deuteronomy 26 of the first fruits, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if evil times or good times.
所以當你看新約26章那個準則的時候,我們要給初熟的果子,我們無論是壞的環境,好的環境都沒有關係。
God says you always give sacrificially, joyfully, generously. And do you know why you can give joyfully? Why that's not a grim truth? Or you're saying to yourself, well, why did I come today? Well, the Israelites were told by God that the only reason that they were able to get anything from their labors is because the land that they had was given to them freely by God.
So,
and that's on slide 7. Remember, the Israelites were slaves. Slaves in bondage. And they would never, ever have gotten out of slavery on their own strength. But God miraculously intervened, if you know the story of the Exodus, right? With miraculous happenings that freed them. And in the same way, we're saved not by our works, but by what God has done, right? The Bible makes absolutely clear you're saved by grace. It's not of your doing. Do you see what's happening when God is giving the land to the Israelites as a gift of grace? Do you see what Habakkuk is saying, what Deuteronomy 26 is saying? You're never allowed to just give. You give connecting it with the gospel. The gospel says you're saved by grace. It's a gift. It's a free gift. Well, Wilson, I'm not an Israelite, and I work very hard. I'm not a farmer. You know, how does this relate to me? Well, it's obvious, right? The things you have are not really yours. Why, I work very hard, Wilson. I work very hard. Yes, you have. But who gave you the talents? Who gave you the situation that you're in now? Is it just for your hard work? Who gave you your health? Who gave you your talents? Everybody, through the providence of God, through circumstances, are helped. You don't just pull yourself out of the swamp. I think that's so obvious, right? If you were born in the 13th century, right, in the mountains of Mongolia or Afghanistan in the 21st century, do you think all your hard work is going to get you out of your poverty? Do you really think that? Are you really that naive to think that? Yeah, I said this before. I had a presbytery colleague who went to Afghanistan, the hills of Afghanistan, in a short-term mission trip. There were believers there. They got nothing. They have nothing. Nothing. They work hard, but they have nothing. They will never have anything. Nobody pulls themselves up by themselves. It's what God opens doors for you, right? Think about that. Just think about that. God in His providence put you where you are. Why aren't you out there in Mongolia? Everything you have is a gift from God. And therefore, it's okay to give sacrificially because God sacrificially gave to you. Because you're supposed to connect the grace of God to the giving. Connect the grace of God, which is a gift, to the giving. Well, Jesus put it like this on slide 8, Matthew 6:19, puts it clearly, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
耶稣在马太福音里面讲到，中道六章19节，不要为自己积攒财宝在地上，地上有虫子咬，不能受坏；也有贼挖窟窿落偷，只要积攒财宝在天上，天上没有虫子咬，不能受坏；也没有贼挖窟窿落偷，因为你的财宝在哪里，你的心也在哪里。
So why does Jesus, in the midst of talking about giving, talk about treasures where your heart is, there's your treasures? Why? Again, it's obvious, right? He's saying that whatever your heart most treasures will be where your money is most goes effortlessly, right? You will always most joyfully spend money on the things you want, right? What you want is where your heart is, where your treasure is. So whatever you must love, whatever your heart most rests in, that's where your treasure is, that's where the money flows to, right? So ask yourself, what do you spend your money on? How does it easily flow out of your hands? And this is how you know, a gauge on your relationship with the Lord. Is it abstract? Is it impersonal? Or is it intimate? You say, I believe in the Lord. I give to the church. I give to the poor. I do that dutifully. Where is your treasure? Do you treasure knowing Him? Do you treasure the fact that you'd be lost without Jesus? You willingly, right? It's obvious. You willingly give sacrificially and joyfully to what you love. So as you spend freely, you know, there are some things you spend on that you don't even think about, you just spend, right? Because that's where your heart is. You know, there's a lot of evil in this world, and God is, of course, God. He is in charge, and sometimes He lets the evil happen, right? He lets the economic scarcity times happen.
神係掌權，但喺呢個世界上面，神都容許喺即係有邪惡嘅嘢去發生，有經濟唔好嘅時間發生。
And he does work through disasters, but again, that's another message.
咁佢會藉住呢個災難去工作。
But my point is, and this is Habakkuk's point, there are millions, millions of good people, believers in the Lord Jesus, who have faced the situation just like Habakkuk.
咁我重點就係話有好多嘅人，數以百萬嘅人，好人或者係信徒，佢哋都經歷過哈巴谷所經歷。
They faced even worse economic scarcity of than just economic scarcity or bankruptcy, but they faced starvation, persecution, death.
佢哋面對可能單隻經濟嘅困難，甚至乎係破產，或者係挨餓，或者係被逼迫，甚至乎係死亡。
But Habakkuk is testifying and telling us, I want you to know it's possible, even in those situations, to make God your treasure. He's saying it's possible to rest your heart in God and rejoice in Him. You can rejoice, not in your circumstances, because there are no circumstances to rejoice in an economic scarcity time. But the Lord is steadfast. He's always with you, always by your side, always carrying you through. You can rejoice in Him. Because you know your sins have been forgiven. You know that the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans is true. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And you know, even if your present circumstances is dire, that your future hope is bright. And Habakkuk says, that's enough for me. That's enough for me. Everything else is going south, it's going wrong, but I have the Lord, that's enough for me. I can maintain poise, I can maintain peace, I can even have some joy despite the adversity. I can still give God my heart, even in the worst of circumstances. And do you know why people like Habakkuk can say that? Because Jesus Christ did not just give to the point that it changed his life. Jesus gave to the point where he lost his life. That's why the cross is at the center. The cross is at the center of this. Because he lost his life so that you could gain it. And when you see that grace, and you take it into your heart and make it your treasure, you can rejoice in suffering. Oh Lord, we know that you call us to many things in the Christian life. One of the things you say is to be generous, to give sacrificially and joyfully. And often we're reluctant givers. We fail to remember who you are and what you've done. Lord, as we reflect on a year past and a year forward. We pray, Lord, that we would ponder our good news of the gospel.
That
we would look at it in all its multifaceted beauty and treasure it in our hearts. And we'll be better for it if we do that in this new year of uncertainty. We ask for your blessing now on all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us all rise and sing.